You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for a very special interview. I was lucky enough to interview activist, artist. I mean, the list goes on and on. Saul Williams, ahead of his show here with Carlos Nino. They're playing from the album Saul Williams Meets Carlos Nino at Tree People, but it's a totally improvised set, which is awesome as well. I'm going to play you a track from Saul Williams's older album, Martyr Loser King. This is Horn of the Clock Bike. I'm going to play that into the interview. You're on BFM.
Red stain on the concrete. Disdain for the bare feet. Work, work, Makatongo. No perk for the bongo. Who prez is chatty? Who, fresh from disparity? Who arms wide open? Who, strange fruit smoking? Paint on a canvas. Carved from a pancreas. Blue for the water.
I've been watching a lot of your interviews. I've been listening to a lot of your music. And it feels like a really common theme, and an empowering theme of it, is this feeling of agency and this understanding that a lot of... Sorry, we're getting jumped right in the deep end here, if that's okay.
Let's do it.
That we have the capability to, you know, resist against these structures that are man-made. So I guess my first question is a question about sanity and how you stay sane as a person who not only has the empathy to understand and feel people's global pain, but the intelligence to recognize that it's not a necessity. How do we take care of ourselves in these times is, I guess, what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I mean, for me, one of those things for me is music, you know. I believe that music has a sort of healing power and a sort of a way of reminding us of ourselves. At least it can have that power. Unfortunately, I don't necessarily feel like that's how everybody approaches music or what everybody, you know, looks for. Even musicians, I'm not sure, you know, that everyone has the same relationship to it. But there is music that feeds me and lets me know that I'm not alone, just as there is literature that feeds me and lets me know that I'm not alone, or that helps instruct me, or that helps, you know, clarify ideas, or, you know, ideologies, even. So I know that the root of all of it is sort of in having and maintaining a sort of always growing awareness that, you know, the struggle that we are up against is a marathon, meaning that, you know, it's been something that we've been fighting for a long time, but also believing in, not even believing, I hate that I said that, you know, understanding, I would say, the potential of us, that in fact, even when we speak of technology or what have you, it's our evolution that is crucial, you know, to the prospects of us, you know, creating a society that sustains everybody. You know, it's our potential to do that. It's within our potential. And beyond that, it's a dance, you know, it's a dance. We take a few steps back, we take a few steps forward, you know, and maybe we can find some, you know, wicked little spins and, you know, of course, capoeira, we call that a dance too, which is to say that sometimes the dance is a fight, you know, but that awareness is key.
One of the pieces of art I've been finding an anchor with recently is your collaborative album with Carlos Nino. So Williams meets Carlos Nino and friends at Tree People. I wanted to, I guess, get into the nitty gritty of that word meet, because I feel like it's so central to that album.
Yeah.
How do you feel that pertains to what you guys created together in terms of that specific word meet? Feels like it carries so much weight in there.
Well, yeah. You know, the idea of Saul Williams meets Carlos Nino and friends, it first comes from, you know, there's some famous really like roots reggae albums, you know, like Mad Professor Meats, you know, so it was in the spirit of that. We love all of the, you know, all of the roots centered music. And so there's been a lot of cases of that from that, you know, particular genre and world. So that's where that comes from. But in reality, I met Carlos Nino very long time ago, before I recorded my first album, when I released my first single ever, which was, what was it called? Twice the First Time. And it was on a label called Big Data, Ninja Tune. And Carlos heard that. He lived in LA. I lived in Brooklyn, New York. And he flew me out here to LA. It's my first time ever performing in LA. Carlos flew me out here. We were both in our early 20s, and it was that concert that I met so many, like I met Zach De La Rocha that night. I met Rick Rubin that night, and I later went and recorded my first album with him. I met a bunch of people at that show. I knew Carlos as a DJ and a promoter, a really amazing concert promoter, because it was really like curating. He would have like, you know, very beautiful ideas about, you know, how to curate an evening. You know, and so whenever I did shows in LA, I was always like, Carlos, you plan it out. You know, like he was always that guy, but he was also an amazing ear. He would always turn me on to extraordinary music. And also if I told him there was, you know, something I was looking for on vinyl, that's really hard to find. Like I remember one time there's a song called To the Establishment, by Lou Bond, which is an amazing song, right? To the Establishment by Lou Bond. And I played this song for Carlos and was like, yo, if you ever see this on vinyl. 3 years later, he came back to me with like, look, I was in Japan, look what I found for you. You know, so we have that type of friendship that circles around music and what have you, but we had never collaborated on stage together. And over the years, Carlos had really evolved into a producer and musician. And I bumped into him, or he invited me out when he was on the road with Andre 3000. And that night we spoke, and I always have had my ear to all the beautiful music Carlos has been creating and releasing, and he releases so much music and so much stuff. And he asked what I was working on musically, and we both sat for a second, and I was like, you know, I think I'm ready to make the album that you would want to listen to, Carlos. Maybe it's time. And so when we both got home and he got off the road and I was back in LA, he came over to hear some demos. And he was like, oh yeah, let's do this. Anyway, so we decided that we were going to do an album together. And Carlos got so excited about the idea. He was like, we should do a concert to announce that we're gonna go into the studio to record this album.
Incredible, I love that.
That concert is the Tree People concert. So it was not intended to be an album. It's just us improvising on stage with a number of friends like Kamasi Washington, Aaron Shaw, Maia the artist, Francesca Hart. There's a number of musicians that we invited out at that night at this outdoor amphitheater. And we just improvised, but it was all to make an announcement that we're about to go into the studio and work on an album together. So International Anthem, the label that Carlos had released stuff on, was at that concert and asked to release that concert as an album. To me, that made a lot of sense because of the fact that in it, because of what's happening in the world, I hadn't really been on stage a lot before then, since, you know, things had started getting, you know, as horrendous as they have been over the past 2.5 years. And I could do no more than really think about and address that. Plus, Trump had just gotten elected here in the States for the second time. So there was a lot of weird feelings in the air, and improvising and just feeling free enough to speak about it instead of just you know, the regular idea of performing and putting on a show and whatever just felt appropriate, like in how to meet the moment. Touring this album has felt the same way, you know, like we, in honor of how we recorded the album, we don't go on stage and recreate the album. We go out on stage and do the same thing that we did that night, which is we don't rehearse, we don't discuss what we're going to talk about or do. We get on stage and meet the moment, you know. And so it's made a lot of sense. Of course, the other side of that is that we did go into the studio to record an album. And I think pretty soon after we see you, there'll be news about that album, is what I'll say. And that's what I'm really excited about, because the Tree People album, the Saul Williams meets Carlos Nino, is the unintended album.
The album opens with this refrain of Land Back. It feels like there's a lot of revisionist history. I mean, there is a lot of revisionist history that happens all over the world. Obfuscations of what happened in order to, I guess, shift blame or justify things. How do you view the artist's role in combating that? I know that's a really broad question, but I'm sure that you have some amazing thoughts about it. So,
well, there's an African American photographer named Gordon Parks, who wrote a book called Weapon of Choice. Right? And that was about his camera. Okay, he was a photographer. He shot a lot during the civil rights era and well before the civil rights era. I believe that the role of the artist is what came to mind is to load the gun, right? There's a poet named Maya Angelou who talked about being in a writing collective, and she said that she and a number of writers in this writing collective in the early 70s had decided amongst themselves that anything an artist writes should be written with the urgency of what they would write if someone were holding a gun in their mouth. Meaning, if these are not good enough to be your last words, why are you speaking? Right? And for me, I believe that the role of the artist, and this is the thing, I think that if we're cognizant of the power of art, then it's up to us to resist the ways in which art has been and can be used for propaganda. Right? Which means that we have to weigh our art against the propaganda. When I speak of the counterbalance that the artist should find, like why is it that Bob Marley's music has the weight that it does? Because it's all weighted with, like, you can't misuse this music. You hear it and you know what it's about. You know that it's anti-imperialist. You know what it's fighting, you know that it's fighting, you know that it's for the fight.
Saul Williams, wow, what a special interview. So nice to interview Saul Williams. The whole time I was sitting there being a sponge to all the game that was coming. If you want to see Saul Williams and Carlos Nino, you can see them at the Tuning Fork on Tuesday the 9th of June. I'll be there. I'll see you there.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.